You're listening to Trek FM.
This is Robert Picardo, the emergency medical hologram from Star Trek Voyager, and you're listening to Trek FM.
Maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey.
Hello, everybody at home, and welcome. This is To the Journey.
To the journey!
My name is Charlene Schmidt. I'm one of your co-hosts on this podcast. With me, as always, is...
Tristan Riddell.
We sort of have some things going on in our lives, besides this podcast. And I think we ought to start off the show just to give people an update on things. And, well, for one thing, I wanted to mention Strange New Worlds contest. I saw on Twitter that you are still waiting to hear back on the winner's list. You submitted an entry way back at the end of January, because that was the deadline. And we're just sitting here wondering if you're going to win.
It is absolutely maddening because they said that they were going to announce the winners on March 31st. And it's now on this recording. It's April 4th.
Day before first contact.
Oh my gosh, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, but here's the thing is that I read the language and it said winners will be announced on or around March 31st.
Oh. So that was their little cop out of the terms of service there where honestly, they can put it out whenever they want.
Because here, that's the thing is because everybody like went online, everyone who submitted and it went online and was just, it was like there's community boards and everything like that. Like, has anybody heard? Has anybody heard? You know, like today's the day. Has anybody heard? No one's heard. And then they're like, okay, well, I guess we'll find out Monday. Well, it's end of business central time zone right now and no emails. I've been checking my junk filter every single day.
Oh, and gosh, how maddening.
I am so antsy. I am so utterly antsy.
I'm antsy for you because I loved your story and I think it was, if nothing else, a very worthy contender. And so I want to know just how things have played out here. And so at or on or around could mean so many things. Is that a week from now? Next month? I mean, that's such a relative term. What? Come on, guys. We want to know.
I even tweeted Star Trek and Simon & Schuster saying like, hey, any word? And of course, I got nothing back. But
I hope that means that they're so busy reading through the entries and coming up with a decision. And they got such an overwhelming response. It's taken them so long to get through every story that that's why they haven't gotten back to you. But I'm willing to bet that they're just shuffling their feet as well.
Also, one thing that I really want to address, and we have an international audience, just like Star Trek.
Yep.
And the Strange New Worlds contest, for those of you who don't know, is a short story contest where it's a book that's published every year. Well, actually, they had a hiatus for a few years, and they're bringing it back, and they will select 10 winners and then publish their short stories in this anthology book. I submitted an entry, and I went on the boards, and I noticed that a lot of people were complaining because they said, why is this only open to U.S. residents? This is bullcrap. This is completely against the vision of Star Trek. You know, like, there's tons of talented writers, you know, out there beyond U.S. Why is the U.S. so U.S.-centric? They're just selfish. And just, like, everybody was just piling on, saying it was ridiculous. And I want to chime in to the defense of StarTrek.com and to the defense of Simon & Schuster that there's a very good reason why it's only open to U.S. residents. Now, I cannot speak for the companies because I'm not a part of them, but I know from my own experience because I have a job that deals with the legality of giveaways, contests, and everything of that nature. Just doing it within the U.S., it is a headache. It is beyond a headache just to have contests and giveaways from state to state.
Right. And sometimes states are excluded. Usually it's sometimes limited to the lower 48 only. So if you're in Alaska or Hawaii, you're also screwed. That sort of thing.
Yeah. And it's not like the company's like, screw Alaska. We hate Alaska. Alaska doesn't have any good riders. You know, it's never like that. It's just if you can't even go from state to state with the legality of contests and giveaways, just imagine what international contests and giveaways are, because it is sometimes almost impossible or literally impossible to hold a contest and giveaway or sweepstakes multi-nationwide.
Right.
Simon and Schuster probably had their hands tied. And so before you start criticizing the US or these companies, look at your own country's laws when it comes to contests, giveaways, and sweepstakes, because they might have a more conservative based law on that than the US does, and that's why they can't partner with them. So
right.
I just wanted to throw that out there.
That's really good to know, because I've always kind of wondered what exactly the red tape is, because I don't know that. I've not researched it. And if you say it's a headache, I completely believe you. just because I know how much things can vary between state to state, just even here in the States. And a lot of these companies that are working with Star Trek, yes, they are U.S.-based, so they're going to work with the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not to say there are not brilliant writers all over the world, because of course there are. Yeah, of course.
There are. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. But I am trying to think of how many international competitions I've ever heard of. Usually if I'm hearing about something, say, over the pond in the UK, it's limited to people in the UK. Same kind of thing. It's just Star Trek, ground zero for us is the United States. And so a lot of these things are limited to the States, or at least much more difficult internationally. I mean, yeah, laws vary so much. There's so many hoops they have to jump through to make these things happen. It's a lot of freaking work. So I'm glad you said that.
Yeah, so moral of the story is, before you start casting stones at the U.S. or Star Trek or Simon & Schuster, look at your own laws in your own country, and that might actually be the one at fault. So
maybe. It's possible.
Maybe. It's possible.
Yeah, and how many countries are there in the world? Could you imagine trying to work with even half of them?
Yeah, and I could go into specifics on why it's a headache, but that's not what we're here to talk about.
No, and there's one other thing I want to bring up before we actually get started with the show, and that is another contest that's going on, and our wonderful art director Aaron Harvey has put an entry into the We Love Fine t-shirt Star Trek 50th Anniversary contest. So we need everybody to go out there now and find Aaron's design and vote. And the way you do that is you go to welovefine.com, click on contests, and they're running more than one contest right now. It's not just Star Trek, but Star Trek is at the very top right now because it's the one that's open for voting. So you're going to click on that, and you're going to find Aaron's shirt, which is 50 years of boldly going. And it is a beautiful freaking design. It should be more toward the top than not, because it has a lot of votes already. But, of course, we want Aaron to win, so we need everybody to sign up and vote. You can do it either through your Facebook account, or you can create one with your email address. I don't think they're going to spam you with email, so don't worry. And please, please, please cast your vote for Aaron so that he gets his shirt printed, and we can all buy it. It would be great. So, as of when we're recording this, voting will end in 29 days, so even though you have time, we're going to pester you to get it done now so you don't forget. So please go out there.
Do it.
Yeah, do it.
And do you know what else they should do, Char? Do you know what else they should do?
What should they do?
They should go and write us a review on iTunes. You can go to itunes.com/trekfm, and from there, click To The Journey, and you can write us a review. You can even do it from your phone. It takes 5 seconds, and we love it when you write us a review, because it helps us get higher on the list on iTunes. More listeners, more shows. That's a way to show us love on the podcast.
Absolutely. And especially if you don't have any money to become a Patreon subscriber, this is the way you can help us out the most. If you love us, please write us a review if you haven't done it already. And speaking of reviews, we have a couple of people to thank. We haven't done this in a couple of weeks, so let's get through the backlog here. And we need to thank Mr. 8-Bit for not only giving us a great review on iTunes and 5 stars, but for telling us on Twitter how much he loves the podcast. He does a lot of driving, and so he has been going through the whole catalog like a lot of you have. I never get tired of hearing how people will do this. It just It boggles my mind. It's amazing. I'm so glad you're enjoying us, and I hope you continue to do so. So thank you very much for all of your feedback and all of your comments. And then also, we have a review from S. Reuter. with 5 stars again makes this person happy every time they listen to us. And so we're going to hopefully just keep on bringing you joy in the weeks and months and however long to come. So thank you guys for writing us reviews. We really do appreciate it.
I love the name Mr. 8-Bit. I'm so thankful that he got that. He was able to get that iTunes name. I think that's so great.
Yeah, it was a good score. Now, I mentioned it earlier. The other way that you can support is if you've got some change that's burning a hole in your pocket, go to Patreon. Patreon.com/TrekFM and consider becoming a monthly subscriber. This is how we run our network. All of the funds that we get through Patreon subscribers goes directly into the network, helps us pay for the hosting and the bandwidth, the storage. We have so much podcast content coming out these days that we couldn't do it without you. And so we thank everybody for supporting us, but especially on TTJ, we have to thank Aaron Harvey, Jamie Deuce, Bruce Lish, Kenneth Tripp, and Dante Hopkins. They are associate producers of this show, and so we want to thank them personally. Now, all that said, let's start the show.
Let's start the show. Char, what are we going to talk about today?
Well, we've done this once before where we took a TNG episode, Captain's Holiday in particular, and we rewrote it into the Voyager universe. And we thought that was so much fun. We've kind of been on a roll as well with the JJ verse and improvising an episode on the spot that we thought, let's just stick on this writing kind of creativity gig and improvise us another episode. Let's take another episode from another show. And this time we picked DS9. And what episode did we pick to put into Voyager this week?
What we picked was from Deep Space Nine, Season 3, Episode 10, Fascination. This is how it's described on Memory Alpha. Ambassador Luxana Troi visits the station to attend the Bajoran Gratitude Festival, resulting in an outbreak of passion throughout the station as people admit their secret feelings for each other.
Ooh. There's two things that I remembered about this episode before I jogged my memory on it in preparation for this. I remembered Luxana Troi saying, "Oh, I shouldn't have given you all that candy," to Molly O'Brien as she pukes on her father. That's mm-hmm. the teaser. And the other thing was, everybody makes out. This is like the naked time / naked now of DS9.
I think the image that always pops into my head when I think about this episode is Quark grabbing Keiko from behind and putting his lobes up against her head.
Now, I can't say that is something that I did remember. That's an image that once you see it, though, yeah, it's there.
You cannot unsee it. And this episode was actually directed by Avery Brooks.
Indeed, it was. Now, was this the first thing that he directed for Deep Space Nine? Because this was season 3, semi-early on.
Actually, the first episode that he ever directed was from season 2, and that was Tribunal.
Oh, all right then. So it wasn't
his
first.
And then he did The Abandoned, and then Fascination.
Okay. All right. So not anywhere close to the first, and certainly not the last. He directed several.
Yes, he did. Yeah, he's a very talented director, and I kind of wish that I always thought that he was going to turn into the Jonathan Frakes of Deep Space Nine.
Not quite, though. I mean, he'd had to act, too, and seeing as how he is the station commander, he had a little more to do. I mean, number one, he
That's
can
true.
Slog off every now and then, but you got to pull true. A station together and keep things in line. That's a lot of work.
Yeah, you're right. I never really thought of it that way. Yeah, it'd be, you know, like there's a reason why Patrick Stewart couldn't excel in directing as much as Jonathan Frakes did, because it's harder for the captain to kind of shine away from the
right.
limelight. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good point. Okay, so we have the whiteboard. It's clean. It's squeaky clean. And we're just going to, we're just taking the premise of Fascination. We're not going to do it beat for beat. We're taking the premise and we're going to run with it for a Voyager concept. Now, obviously, we can't have Luxana Troi.
No, that's kind of a given. For obvious reason, I would think.
And that makes me sad, but what do you think? We need, like, she's the trigger. She's the reason. Could we make it a virus? Could we make it something completely different? Or should we find another telepath on the ship that does it? Like, could it be Tuvok? Because since he's a telepath? Or does it need to be, like, a passing alien, maybe?
I feel like, I don't know. I'm a little torn, in fact. I think the whole telepathy thing with Tuvok, Vulcans are so controlled that, mm-hmm. And they're such a long-standing alien race, I feel like they're a race we know more about than anything, to suddenly have this come out, oh, guess what? We can suddenly make everybody lose their minds, might be a little bit of a cop-out. But we've also seen the whole virus thing happen with TOS and TNG with the Naked Time and the Naked Now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's not to say that it can't happen again, because alien viruses could happen all the time. And they're in the Delta Quadrant, where there's tons of unfamiliar things. But I'm just wondering if maybe, since there's this angle on the show or on this episode where they're talking about a Bajoran holiday festival, and there's a thing where Kira's sort of putting this some potion together. It's not a potion, but that's the word that came to mind. What if, for whatever reason, it's like a Talaxian holiday and they do not realize that whatever Neelix is putting together interacts with pheromones, and that's going to make everybody horny? I don't know. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah, no, I think we can go in that direction. It definitely needs to be a mistake. I like the idea of avoiding a telepath thing with Tuvok, because you're right, we would have known about it by now.
You would think.
I like the idea of Neelix screwing it up.
And I'm sorry, Neelix always screws up, and he's going to do it yet again, but since he is Talaxian, and it's going to be an alien holiday,
yeah,
it would make sense that it would be his culture, his festival, and the lack of understanding that of how this might work on humans, just, it falls into place so conveniently.
Now, what if this was this was Prixen, and he needed these herbs, or he wanted to make this dish or something like that, and he had to substitute the ingredients, because he had a special store of it on his ship, and he ran out of this spice or whatever, and so he's like, okay, I'll substitute it with this spice that I found on an alien world, you know, on the last space station we were at or something like that. And
yes,
then everybody who has this pie, everyone who has this slice of pie, all of a sudden gets a quick headache, and then boom, sees the other person and immediately falls in love.
And Cupid's arrow strikes. I love it. It's perfect, because how can you really blame Neelix for that? And they had no idea what they were dealing with, and then all of a sudden they've got a problem on their hands.
Yeah.
I love it. Let's roll with it.
Okay, so we're going to go with that. And I love it that it has to start in the mess hall, you know, like that everybody's getting ready for Prixen. I'd love to see, like, the opening teaser is everybody's getting ready for Prixen, you know, like, because you and I love the holiday Prixen for obvious reasons.
Well, there's just that little thing that we do on the show. Yeah.
I feel like I would love to see the preparations for Prixen, because we kind of teased that in our last holiday message.
Yeah.
And I would love to see people prepare, see people put up decorations, people move around. And I want that to be the teaser. And then that's when he's like, oh, man, I'm out of that spice. I got to go get something else. Maybe, you know, maybe if you want to be it, like if you want to have Neelix and Naomi interact, maybe Naomi is like, why don't you just use something else? And he goes, you know what? That's a great idea, Naomi. I'll use this substitution.
There you go. There you go. Now, is Naomi going to puke all over Samantha Wildman's uniform, like Molly did on O'Brien? Neelix has made some sweet holiday Prixen treats, and Naomi's had way too many, and she's been helping Neelix mostly by eating so many, I don't know, cookies or candies or something that's just way too much for her system. And then Samantha Wildman comes off duty, and hey, Mom, and then blah. Why not?
Samantha's
Why not?
Like, oh, Neelix.
Yeah, oh, really? And here I am entrusting you to care for my child. Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Now we know the catalyst. And the Deep Space Nine episode Fascination, there wasn't high stakes. You know, there wasn't crazy things going on. You know, there wasn't an alien force threatening to destroy the ship. You know, like, no one was going to die or anything like that. I'd like to maintain that. I'd like to continue that where things start happening and like weird pairings start to happen.
We have to decide when this is taking place. Is it a third season episode, and is it pre or post Blood Fever with Tom and B'Elanna?
I think to add to the drama, it needs to be post Blood Fever with Tom and B'Elanna, because, and also I'd like to have a little bit older Naomi, and I'd like to have Seven of Nine.
Okay, so you're actually talking season 4 onward.
Yeah, season 4 onward, somewhere around
it. Okay, so Tom and B'Elanna are in the relationship by this point.
Yes.
And we have Scarlett Palmer's Naomi Wildman.
That's right.
Okay. All right. That's good. So, all right. Crazy pairings.
Now, right off the bat, I think we need to say that Chakotay and Janeway should not be together.
I guess it is a little too obvious, but at the same time, I thought that was the whole reason why you suggested this episode. I'm so disappointed.
No, I feel like that would be cheating the fans. Like, if this episode actually happened, I feel like it would be a slap in the face where the okay. first time we see them kiss or the first time we see them get together, it's not
They're
real.
Drugged.
No. Yeah.
Yeah, okay, okay. That I can go with. What if Janeway and Paris go for a hookup because they had lizard babies?
Okay, so, okay, but now in the episode Fascination, that's not true. Like, Kira and Bashir were the only couple that were into each other. Like, all the other times, it was unrequited. So, are they both going to have the hots for each other, or is it just going to be Paris towards Janeway?
Ooh.
Or Janeway towards Paris?
I think it should be Janeway toward Paris to make it really awkward and uncomfortable and yet hilarious to watch.
And then, yeah, like, B'Elanna and Janeway just totally
get
into a fight. Yeah.
And, I mean, Janeway's really putting herself out on the line there to risk a cat fight with a Klingon. And yet, because that's going to create a great confrontation, too. Maybe B'Elanna isn't infected yet, and she's wondering, why in the world is Captain Janeway putting the moves on my guy? So, may I see you in your ready room, please?
I could see it, like, happening, like, in Tinker, Tenor, Dr. Spy, where, like, she's, like, really suggestive and just, like, lingering her hand on his shoulder. And, like, that happens during a meeting or something, and, like the whole lower back thing, you know? Like,
and just... everybody notices. Everybody, and they're all...
And, like, we zoom in on Chakotay, like, what the hell?
Yeah, she usually does that with me!
Okay, so Janeway towards Paris, that's one. I think we should leave B'Elanna alone so that she stays angry at Janeway. Because if she's infatuated with somebody else, then that kind of takes away the drama. Because if she's infatuated with somebody else, then she wouldn't care.
Yeah, exactly. So that's cool. We got to do that. Now, Paris, he's obviously attached to B'Elanna. Mm-hmm. Is he going to be making this more complicated by lusting after somebody else?
You know, I think... it would be more interesting if they were both in on it, like where B'Elanna would go up to Paris and go, did you see that? He's like, yeah, that was weird, right? And, you know, basically we have like two confidants there where B'Elanna's like, I'm going to say something to her right now. And Paris is like, no, don't. I'm sure we were just misreading it, you know, everything like that. I think that would make for some funny conversations instead of Tom being perceived as a jerk and liking somebody else.
Okay, I like that because this isn't season one Tom Paris where he would unabashedly go for it. This is the more sensitive Tom where he's all about the B'Elanna, no matter what, like universe or whether he's had his brain wiped or anything. I mean, that's who he's for. Okay, I like that. And I kind of like those two, working together a little bit.
Another thing that popped in my head, and I'm not trying to like steamroll or anything like that, but I want to see Seven chase after Harry. Because we saw it once before.
Yeah.
And Harry chase after B'Elanna.
See, I don't like that.
Why don't you like that?
Well, for one thing, we've seen Seven chase after Harry a little bit. And we know how well that ended.
So you think that would be too redundant?
Maybe a little bit. I'm kind of wondering if maybe Harry should go after Seven. And she's confused because... you've denied my request to copulate once before. What's changed your mind?
Okay, so flip it around. Okay, yeah. That's a great idea. We could even make it closer to that, like closer to that date where maybe, where Seven actually mentions that, where she's like, hey, we tried this before. You know, like I offered my services and you said no.
You're making her sound like an escort.
I know. I didn't really mean that to happen. It just kind of came out that way.
She's working the alcove.
Yeah, it's no.
Oh my!
Didn't mean that.
I'm sorry.
Happen,
I'm sorry. Didn't mean to take this off the rails. It's just that's what happened in my head. But okay, back. Okay, Harry is pursuing Seven. Who is Seven pursuing? Because we got to assume that we got to make Harry insanely jealous, and he needs to maybe potentially threaten to beat somebody up.
Now, what if Seven goes after the Doc and it really tugs at everybody's heartstrings because we know that Doc is starting to have feelings for her, but he has to deny himself because he's unaffected by it.
But what if, I mean, okay, timeline-wise, though, that's a little confusing just because it sounds like we were talking early-ish season four, and now all of a sudden we've jumped to a season five episode.
Well, we can spin that however we want. We can futz with the dates, or we can just say, like, maybe this is what piqued his interest in Seven. Maybe this is what got him to consider an actual relationship with Seven.
Hmm. I don't know. I actually think that we can still have the whole thing with Seven saying, you denied my request once to Harry. We still remember that from season four, but maybe we do have it taking place after someone to watch over me so that the whole thing with the doctor's feelings is tugged with, because that's way more powerful.
I'm fine with that. That's fine.
Okay, let's do that.
I'm not, as we established in the previous episode, I am not as much of a stickler in timeline as you are.
Yeah. Truth. Okay. Well, let's do that because I think we've got a lot more of an emotional pull. Because in the poor doctor, what does he possibly do now? Does he go with it? He knows something is not quite right. He can't take advantage of her like that. It's sort of like blood fever, just a slightly different cause.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, she's just, her hands are all over him.
So that leaves Chakotay.
What does poor Chakotay get to do here?
Is he unscathed, or does he, like, maybe he falls in love with some random crew member? You know, like, maybe it's somebody else that we don't know about. Or does he make it super awkward and start going after B'Elanna?
Oh, God. That scene in Persistence of Vision flashbacks. Okay, I know. If Robert Beltran ever hears this, he's going to hate me for it, but I think we have to make him the one unscathed somehow, for whatever reason, to pull everybody back together and save the ship. Because I think, aside from his heart belonging to Catherine Janeway, it just wouldn't be right to have him pursue anybody else. And yes, I realize that these are crazy pairings. Yes, I know. And I don't want him to pursue B'Elanna. I don't know, that weirds me out a little. It would be like Janeway and Seven hooking up. That mentor-mentee thing, that's crossing a line. I'm not comfortable with it. I'm really not.
Okay, all right, that's fine. But here's the thing, is that I don't think we should have four people on the crew, Neelix, Tom, B'Elanna, and Chakotay, all unaffected.
Ooh, you're right, that's way too many people. Shoot. Now, is Neelix going to be affected?
I think he has to, because, you know, he's had to have tasted his own dessert, you know, to test it.
Yeah.
But maybe Talaxians aren't affected. Maybe he's the one who's not.
I think he's got to be the one to get them out of it because he's getting them the one in it, getting them into
right,
it.
Right. Let's do that. Neelix is unaffected.
That means Chakotay's got to be affected. Okay, maybe he does. Oh, I don't want him to go after Seven either. Ew.
Well, we already have Harry going after Seven.
Right.
Oh, wait. Maybe we could do something different. Maybe, like, Harry and Chakotay are going after Seven, and so that they get into a fight.
Is that who Harry fights?
Yeah, that's who Harry fights.
Oh, okay. That alone is going to be worth it. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
And since this is just pure lust, and she's a beautiful woman, fine. So be it. It doesn't have to mean anything.
Please, guys, don't hate me for bringing this up. But
it
adds a little bit more credence to the relationship we got in Endgame where, you know, like, maybe this situation is what piqued her interest for developing holographic Chakotay.
Uh-huh.
That holographic Chakotay is what piqued her interest for Endgame. So, you know, that kind of adds just a little bit more layers to it.
Yeah, I gotta say, this would at least give it a little more credibility.
Where, I mean, granted, now she's going after the doctor, but maybe after it's all said and done, I mean, she starts thinking about relationships now. She's like, you know what? You know, like, maybe I should go back to it. Maybe I should go back to the drawing board when it comes to relationships.
Yeah. She learned something from this.
Yeah, something like that. So just to recap, we have Janeway going towards Paris, Paris and B'Elanna being unaffected, Harry going after Seven, Chakotay going after Seven, Seven going after the Doc, and Neelix and the Doc work together to figure out how to fix it.
Okay, one question. Why are Paris and B'Elanna not affected?
Because they were the only ones who didn't go to the Prixen. They both had to work.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. They've got to hold down the fort.
Yeah, something like that. And what about Tuvok?
Tuvok. Boy, yeah, what do we do with Tuvok? It is fun to watch Vulcans lose control, although it's such a trope.
Yeah, it really is.
But then it's kind of boring if we just make him...
Tuvok was on an away mission.
Tuvok's on vacation that week? Just nowhere to be found?
Like, I am legit thinking that because we've done so much with Tuvok in the past couple of episodes that I'm just like, you know what? Tim Russ was on vacation, you know?
Maybe he's ill. Maybe he's in sick bay and he's quarantined or something. Just another, I don't know. Because why would he be alone on vacation? It's like the only one.
I don't know. I'm just saying he's not there. Okay,
we have to think these things through. It's the logistics we've thrown at ourselves.
He's with other crewmen, you know, like it doesn't have to be with another member of the senior staff. Maybe he's off on an away mission with other people.
Okay. And maybe there was such a bad mishap with Prixon that he's deliberately taking that time right now to make sure he's off the ship.
Maybe that's why. We see that at the beginning where Tuvok leaves. Yeah.
Yeah. And Neelix says, well, you're going to join us for Prixon, aren't you? And he's just, no. I'm going to be busy and you guys have fun. See ya.
And maybe he comes back at the end and we do the whole thing where either he can recognize that something's wrong and help out, or we can do the whole thing. What I'd miss.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking was he shows up at the very end. Did I miss anything?
Cue the laugh track.
Yeah. Yeah, that very classic sitcom thing. I like that. Why not? Why the heck not? Anything interesting happen while I was gone? Nah. That'd be great.
Let's give quick, we don't have to go scene by scene, but let's give quick interactions. Let's characterize the interaction. So we talked about Janeway going after Paris, like in a meeting where it's clear that she's throwing herself at him and everybody's really confused. We have a scene where B'Elanna and Paris are like, what the hell was that? I know that was crazy. B'Elanna confronts Janeway and they start, you know, like they start screaming at each other and she's like, maybe I need to rethink the engineering command structure of this ship, you know?
Yeah. You know, Lieutenant Carey's doing really good work as of late. You better watch your back.
Yeah, crap like that. And so we described that. Now, what's the Seven and Harry thing? Like, we've laid down that Harry is going after Seven, and Seven rebuffs his advances because she's like, hey, listen, we tried this once before. I don't want to do this again.
Right. So somewhere Chakotay's got to intersect, and Harry's got to be privy to the fact that Chakotay is interested in Seven, and he's going to get pretty freaking riled up about it.
Right.
So maybe right after that conversation where Seven says, look, you already turned me down. What? Why now? I don't really care anymore. Chakotay comes in, and that's where my thought ended.
Okay. So like maybe he comes in, Seven's the first person that he sees, and so that's the trigger, and then he sees Harry and is immediately like, he's like listen, okay, I need to speak to Seven alone. And Harry's like, no, anything that you say in front of her, you can say in front of me.
Yeah, I'm senior staff, don't forget that. I might be a lowly ensign, but hey, I attend staff meetings too.
He says. He's like, listen, ensign,
beat it. I like that. And then Chakotay starts putting some moves on Seven.
Yeah. And then she's just like, maybe she says, like, this is inappropriate. Like, you're the, you're the exo of this ship. You know, like, maybe she's still professional at this point. It hasn't kicked in yet.
Yeah. Maybe just from the proximity of those two coming to her alcove or something, or Astrometrics, wherever she is, that's what infects her. And the chain reaction continues.
And then she realizes that something's wrong. She's like, Chakotay and Harry are acting funny. And so she goes to sickbay to explain it. But by the time she gets there, she sees the doc.
Right. And just then starts. By then, it's all downhill from her. Yeah. And I would love to see Jerry Ryan act the heck out of that. Just watching poor Seven devolve from full out professionalism to mooching on the doc.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that would be a lot of fun. And does the doc know right away? Does he realize it right away or?
No.
No?
No, I think at first he kind of takes things at face value, but it eventually reaches a point where it's clear that she's not herself. And so, okay. Seven, you better stay here in sickbay. But she's more than happy to. Examine me, please.
Yes. Oh, that's such a good idea. And then that way, we can have Harry and Chakotay looking for Seven. And they can't find her, but then they bump into each other again. And that's when the fist fight happens.
Yeah, it's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? None of your business. Are you going to go find Seven? Because I'm going to find her first. That sort of thing. And I mean, it's so
that
juvenile.
Kind of thing, yeah, it's very juvenile. It's very schoolyard. And maybe Paris is the one who breaks it up.
Ooh, I like it. Yeah, yeah.
Like, he goes and breaks it up while B'Elanna's going to confront Janeway. Like, maybe that's what happens at the same
okay.
time.
Okay. And then they meet up together and have that conversation. What is going on? This is ridiculous.
What if, like, B'Elanna and Tom were lucky enough, like, because they were near Chakotay and Harry, and B'Elanna was near Janeway, maybe that gets them infected, because the person who, like, I don't know how the infection works, because we haven't really described that, because, like,
yeah,
like is it delayed? Because, like, at first it was they had a slice of dessert, but now we kind of said that when they got near it, it infected them.
Yeah,
maybe that's how it is. It's like some people had the dessert, and then that messed with their pheromones, and that infects other people in because of that, because of proximity.
There you go. That makes enough sense to as anything.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was like, it's Star Trek. I mean, we could do whatever we want.
Yeah.
What if then B'Elanna and Tom were lucky enough to get infected and then see each other?
Right. And then they go off to their quarters and we know what they're doing.
Yes, exactly. They're just like, they just look at each other and then they're staring at each other. And then she just kind of raises her eyebrow and he kind of nods his head to the left. Like,
yeah, yeah.
And then she goes, yeah. And then they just leave.
Wow. We just did RUDTF on Star Trek. Oh my gosh, it's perfect though. It's great. And then that's how they stay together.
Yeah, I mean, they're already together, so it's nothing weird, but for some, it just intensifies it like crazy.
And it's just, yeah, automatic. Wow. Okay, we need to get out. We need to get to our quarters now.
You're like, yeah, you want to get the hell out of here? Yeah, let's get the hell out of here.
Yeah. Let's do that yesterday. I like it. Okay, cool. So, is this something that just sort of resolves itself, where after a while, you know, the food goes through your system and you're done with it, the pheromones fade away, and then you've got the aftermath. What have we done?
I think that's exactly what happens. I think it's all timed. I think it's all temporary. They don't have to get a shot. They don't have to do anything. Doc realizes, okay, Neelix, don't be an idiot. Make sure to check, you know, how your spices interact with different species.
Right. Yeah, I think the doc uncovers what exactly has been going on. He finds out, he traces it, like the pheromones and then blah, blah, blah. Oh, wow. It may be like he and Neelix, he's conferring with him back and forth, trying to find the cause of this, and then traces it back to the source. And
yeah.
Then, oh, jeez. Okay, really?
And so he goes and he tries to separate people. He tries to like see them one by one, saying, okay, you've been infected. Go to your quarters. Go to your quarters. And then like he tries to find every single person. And then this might be too far, but he goes to B'Elanna and Tom's quarters and he just kind of shakes his head and then keeps walking.
Does he maybe hear, I mean, would this be safe for Star Trek, where you hear like a thud or something?
Or like a lamp breaking?
I think that would be okay. I think that would be safe. Yeah. And then, you hear just enough to know what's going on, but it's still safe for kids somehow.
It's still Star Trek, yeah.
Yeah,
It's like Shrek, where it's a dirty joke that only adults would get.
Yeah, and so Doc just shakes his head and moves on. I like it. All right, so then, yeah, aftermath. We've got to have maybe that coda of some people having to do that horrible dirty work of, I'm really sorry for what I did. Even though we all know that we weren't ourselves, I still feel the need to address this, and let's clear the air here.
I think it would be funny if it was like really early in the morning and the next day, and people come into the mess hall to get coffee.
Uh-huh.
Everyone has the idea of getting there early enough so that they don't have to see other people.
I love it. And it totally backfires. And this is their chance to rag on Neelix a little bit. Now, you didn't do anything to the coffee, did you?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, just a little jab. Like, okay, we forgive you. This, it's okay. We understand. It's just, please be more careful. First the cheese, now this.
So we see, like everybody kind of comes in one by one. And then we have the, everybody kind of goes off in these little pockets. Like Janeway goes to Paris and B'Elanna to apologize. Uh-huh. And Chakotay apologizes to Harry, and Harry apologizes to Chakotay. And we end on a Seven and the Doc.
Should we talk a little bit about how these conversations are going to pan out? Because I feel like it can be really quick with Janeway, Paris, and B'Elanna, where Janeway just flat out says, don't think anything of it.
Yeah.
And they say, cool, we're done.
Done. Yeah.
And then for Chakotay and Harry, I think it's a thing of acknowledging, you know, I'm not even interested in actually pursuing Seven. So if you want her, no, I'm not either. You go ahead. No, really, it's cool. Maybe something like that.
I think it's got to be more brutish and juvenile where...
Really? Still at this point?
Yeah, just a little bit. Just because they're guys. Where just a hint of it, where they have that conversation that you're talking about. They have that conversation, because I like that. But Chakotay, like, since Chakotay's the boxer, he says, you know, Harry, I just want to let you know, you throw a mean right hook. And he goes, he's like, you know, thank you very much, Commander. But I could still take you. And then there's something to that effect.
And then maybe Chakotay invites Harry to his holodeck program. Well, why don't we find out? Let's see.
Yeah, something like that.
That'd be kind of cool.
And it's good-natured ribbing, and then we go on to
Seven in the Dock.
Okay. And that's one's a little bit more real. I don't want to say realistic, but a little bit more, has more depth.
Yeah, I think Seven's going to be very embarrassed at her actions, and so she's going to give a very heartfelt apology, and it's got to be the Doctor who's going to be the understanding one, saying, "Listen, you were under an influence and you weren't yourself. I understand." And she's gonna say, "No, that's not an excuse.
Yeah, I should be in control." And she says, like, "I should be in control of my actions no matter what." And the Doc says, "Don't worry, you know, we all have these moments where we want to let go of control, you know," or something like that.
Or well, maybe it's more of a thing where everybody lost themselves in this whole thing. You weren't alone. Mm-hmm. You are human. This is unfortunately a I don't know if you want to call it a failing. But you're going to be prone to things like this, just like the rest of the crew. It's a part of your experience.
Mm-hmm. I think my main motivation behind the line that I said was just because I wanted it to open up the door a little bit more.
Okay.
With the Doc and Seven and everything like that.
Yeah. Okay. I kind of think maybe we ought to find some middle ground to address what you're trying to go for and what I'm trying to go for. Have a little mishmash of both.
Yeah, no, I'm fine with both.
Put it all out there. You can keep that dialogue pretty snappy and just make it all happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And
there we go.
That's when Tuvok walks in and goes, "What'd I miss?"
Yeah, just something of the nature of, I wasn't expecting to see everybody in the mess hall so early.
Yeah, I didn't mean literally. He said, like, "What I miss." Like,
I
don't expect to, like, Tuvok to be slide into the mess hall like Kramer in Seinfeld, going, "Whoa, what did I miss?"
That'd be awesome, but that's so not Tuvok. No, that would have been Neelix if it had been him. But okay, well, I think that's our episode. That's how we write Fascination as a Voyager episode.
I think we have to have naked in the title. So we have the naked time, the naked now. What's this? The naked spice, the naked date.
The naked spice. I mean, the show aired in the 90s, Spice Girls. I don't like it for that reason, though.
The naked dessert.
Naked dessert. Maybe that should be the title of this show.
I kind of like it. There you go. The naked dessert. I mean,
sex. It always sails. Yeah. Naked dessert.
The naked dessert.
The naked dessert. Okay. Why the heck not? This is going to be one of those really awesome, inconsequential episodes anyway. Why not make it silly? Yeah. Let people know from the get-go, from the title, this is not going to be hard-hitting drama.
Yeah. No one's going to lose their life. No one's going to, no aliens are going to attack. It's called the naked dessert. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody is going to go through severe growth experiences. This is all in good fun. All right, cool. Well, naked things aren't the only thing that we've been talking about on Trek FM this week. Here's a glimpse at other things happening on the network.
Previously on Trek.fm, Standard Orbit.
You've heard Chief Tripp sign on. I'm serious, Ken. Actually, out of the chair, please.
Okay, okay. God.
I guess the Commodore has the con!
Earl Grey.
Did you really write down Groppler Zorn on this list?
I was just kidding. That, what fruit did he like before he got to apples?
The Ready Room.
I think all of us Star Trek fans at one point or another probably retreat into this universe we love, Star Trek, that is, it's a fictional world.
What are you talking about, Zachary? Are you suggesting that like fans might decide to buy microphones and like talk about it like it's real for hours on end?
Commentary, Trek Stars.
In the first movie, it was really like, you know, let's go race some cars, you know?
Yeah.
And then let's go steal some TV VCR combos.
Yeah. Is that really what it is?
Yes, that's what they were stealing.
That's awesome.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
So check out all of our shows. We have, more often than not, more than one episode of some podcast coming to you every single day of the week. That's a lot of Trek talk. And we've wrapped up our retelling of DS9's fascination now, and we've got to focus on what we're going to do next week. But guess what? We're not going to tell you. So there. Deal with it. You've got to wait a whole week until you get to find out. And so until then, everybody, this has been To the Journey.
To the Journey!